This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Options are on the table.
All righty. Hello, hello again. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football with us too. Omar Khan. Omar opines for the first time since the Steelers' horrible finish to the season. Actually, first time he's talked since before the start of last season, as per the Steelers' ridiculous policy on general managers not talking. The Cowboys owner does a press conference after every game, and the man that runs the Steelers isn't available until the combine, which makes absolutely no sense. Ben Cherington does a show every week on our station during the Pirates season. Now, a lot of times he fills it up with complete gobbledygook, but at least he's available and talking. So I think that is absurd, but that's really not why we're here to debate Steelers policy. It's to talk about what the GM actually said. And here is my takeaway on this conundrum, this quarterback dilemma that is going to get sorted out between now and, you would think, March 10th when the start of free agency begins. He said all options are on the table. Ideally, they'd want one of these two guys back. Tell me if you guys agree or disagree with this. He has absolutely very little to no say in it. I think Omar Khan right now, my opinion on him has changed a little bit. I think he's pretty much just a mouthpiece for the owner and coach. If Omar goes into a meeting with those two guys and said, this is my plan at quarterback, I think, as Donnie likes to say, all right, thanks, Omar. We'll take it under consideration. We'll think about it. Is he going to overrule Tomlin? No. Is he going to overrule Art? No. Do they respect his opinion on football as much as they respected Kevin's? No. That's why Andy Weidel's here. So he's a guy that I think if Mike says, hey, I like Matthew Stafford, Omar's the type of dude that does two things. He looks at how he can make the numbers work, and he looks at how he can facilitate the deal to get the player. That's what he does.
You're saying he doesn't even do a value judgment of this is what we should give up. It's basically, we want this guy, I have to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
When Mike says he likes the guy, that means we collectively, or if Art says he likes the guy. I mean, I think in this case, if it were just a question of between the two quarterbacks that they had last year, let's leave Kyle Allen out of these proceedings, I do think Omar would be aligned with Mike. I think Art is now the lone wolf, the Lone Ranger, with Tonto and Silver on the Russell Wilson camp or bandwagon. So if that is where they go, I think we should be pinning this completely on Art, that's how it ends up. Like, Russ is already working out in Steelers gear. If he really actually comes back, you can basically say Art Rooney did this. They can obfuscate. They can do their "we all collectively made this decision" crap to protect each other. But we know if Russell Wilson's back, who wanted him? The owner did. If Fields is the guy that they actually bring back on some sort of deal, I do think you can reasonably point to more of a consensus among Mike, Andy, and Omar. But to your overall point, is he like essentially a figurehead? I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, because I think some of the things they've done in recent drafts suggest that no, he and Andy kind of have gotten their way a little bit more than Mike has.
Well, but I think in terms of like being able to pull things off, you know, getting aggressive, moving up and down, him having more information for the coach. Like right now, I think here's what Omar's doing as a GM. He's figuring out what both of those guys, what the valuation is on them. Here's what we can get Russ for. Here's what we can get Justin Fields for. He does the legwork on that, then he brings it to Art and he brings it to Mike.
Like somebody making a briefing for a politician. Here's the threat assessment or whatever. Here are our options. What do you want to do?
He's the one that's talking to Russ's agent. He's the one that's talking to Fields' agent. That's not Mike or Art. That's what he does as GM. But when we, because I had Donnie go and do this, give me all the moves that Omar's made since he's taken over as GM. I'm looking at these moves and I'm thinking to myself, can I really harangue him for this or praise him for it? He's just doing the bidding. He was hired because the owner and the coach are comfortable with him.
Then what moves could he have made that wouldn't ultimately be assumed to be the coaches or the owners or both wishes? Like if that's the auspices under which he was hired, then nothing's his job.
I think you give him credit when they're able to pull off things. Like last year.
But no player evaluation. If you like a player they drafted, he was just the guy submitting the card, not the guy who decided to draft the player.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you disagree with that?
I mean, that's at least a more honest way to do it than all the bad players are drafted by the coach, all the good players I like are drafted by the GM, which has, I think, been like the norm for a long time here. If you just say the players are the, if you want to say the players are the coach's business and he's the one really drafting them and he and the owner are consulting and then Omar's doing their bidding.
I mean, you've heard the way that Omar's talked about Mike.
Yes, they all talk about him like he's the actual owner of the team up to and including the owner, which I think is a ridiculous way to go about this, especially given the complete lack of results they've gotten. Omar certainly doesn't do himself and it doesn't do anything when he talks about Mike to dispel the notion that he has a much more minor voice in that room. He's very deferential whenever Mike's name comes up. Other GMs fire coaches. Howie Roseman, oh, you're coaching the team and I don't like the job you're doing? Your ass is on the street.
Now, I think what he's able to do is if Mike really likes, say, Matthew Stafford, I think Omar finds a way to make the money work and finds a way to negotiate with the Rams in ways that Kevin Colbert was either unwilling or just didn't feel like doing. I think that's the difference between their old structure of the organization and what they have now. So I do think there's an evolution process there. Like, I actually do take him at his word when he says all options are on the table. I think that he believes in his mind, whatever they decide, Art and Mike, I believe I can make it work. If those guys came up, if they made up their mind, and this isn't going to happen, but just hypothetically speaking, follow me on this. If they decided that they really liked Cam Ward, I think Omar would be like, all right, I'll put the trade package together that allows for us to go up and get him. And I'll have a good idea or a good handle on like where I need to move up to in order to make sure
he's
that we get him.
Taking orders then, he's not giving them. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Saying he's taken orders, he's not given them.
I mean, it's not like Kyle Dubas with the Penguins, I guess, is like to make a comparison in town. I think he holds a ton of cards. I think this GM holds one or two.
I mean,
that's
the way
it.
You're making it sound, it's almost like you think the assistant GM here might hold more cards or sway because he's more of a football guy.
When it comes to like the way that
the actual players that they want, Weidel has more agency. And then it's Omar's job to facilitate.
Oh, I think that...
We're calling the play, you run the play.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
And your opinion has changed on this because of what? Or was it always ultimately this?
No, I came in here thinking, like, how am I going to react to what Omar says?
And no, but, like, did you think Omar at the start of his tenure actually had sway and juice to do it his way?
Not really. Not really, because I figured that Mike wouldn't have wanted him promoted or hired unless he could walk all over him and get his way.
And we know that in the history of the Roonies, there's been one GM coach power struggle in our lifetimes, and the coach won it.
I mean, like, this is just my opinion. I think if Omar were left to his own devices, he would not want Russell Wilson or Justin Fields back.
Would he go out? If you think he was left to his own devices, do you think he'd trade for Matt Stafford?
I think he might.
Well, I mean, that might align, though, with what Mike and Art want to do.
But my point is, I think he says something like, ideally, we're going to bring one of these guys back, not because Omar thinks that's what's necessarily best for the team. That's what his boss wants. And pick whoever boss that is. He's a puppet in this whole game. He's absolutely a puppet.
You're doing like the Blazing Saddles, Mongo Pawn in Game of Life.
Donnie, do you disagree with me on anything here? I mean, I'm kind of like trying to do, I guess, a start of the show where we're talking about how the sausage gets made. But that's how I feel here, that he's just an extension of what the owner and the coach want.
It just sounds like you've only said that full on just now, but it doesn't sound like you've ever really harbored a different opinion about him. The day he was hired or elevated to this position, it sounds like you felt like this was always the arrangement.
Yes.
I mean, the only pushback I would say on at least the Mike front is my significant understanding of the situation when they drafted Jones, which obviously hasn't worked out, is that if Mike was the one telling Omar what to do, Joey Porter Jr. would have been picked at 17. And that Omar and Andy, and maybe even Art, which would, I guess, nullify this a little bit, but definitely Omar and Andy were able to kind of convince Mike behind the scenes that he could have his cake and eat it too, that everybody could win.
And if they weren't able to do that, who do you think they would have picked in the first round that year?
I think that's kind of the point, though. I think they moved Mike off his spot and they won that battle.
But that's what I mean. Like, that's his job as a general manager, I think, is to get information for his coach.
No, but I think like in so doing, like they had to convince him that their information was good is my
sure.
point. So they won the argument with right. him by convincing him we're trading up and getting this guy and waiting for your guy.
And that's one of the things I believe that sets him apart from Kevin. I don't think it would have gone that way with Kevin. I think they would have just picked who they decided was the best player for that spot, tried to have the best of both worlds.
Part of the problem with this, or maybe the bigger problem with this, Donnie, I know I'm cutting into your time here. This feels like I'm taking over from the judge here tomorrow and Judge Donnie. But I just do think the owner is still where the buck all stops here. The owner has watched like diminishing results. He doesn't look at them that way, but they haven't gotten a lot of results. The owner is the one who gives so much agency and power to the head coach. The owner's not looking at this honestly. If he just promotes a GM who's really going to do the bidding, like then they really didn't have like a change in their power structure, other than maybe Kevin and Mike had worked for so long together that there was more of a collaborative process. But they were basically one mind. We've all said that.
Donnie, do you think Omar's going to have a big say in who their next quarterback is?
I think he won't have as much as Tomlin or Rooney, but I do think he has done more than you're letting on.
So you think he'd break a tie? Like, let's say that Art wants Russ and Tomlin wants Fields. You think Omar's vote there would sway it?
Who else would they go to? Weidel to break the tie?
I mean, I think they'd listen to him because they employ him as GM, but I don't know if they'd actually take his advice.
I feel like given the way that they have approached the draft under him and last year in free agency, that first week, that was more than the Steelers have ever done. Not only in my lifetime, but in your lifetime,
sure,
too.
But if you had to guess, who do you think wanted Patrick Queen? Omar Khan or Mike Tomlin?
Tomlin.
Right. Well, I think Mike
So I think
Art
he's just doing his
him.
Bidding. That's what I think it is.
I think Omar probably, though, saw Patrick Queen at the price they got him for as more palatable.
Bingo, and I think that's what I'm, I guess we're all saying the same thing here. Like, I think Omar is able to facilitate those things. He'd be like, actually, Mike, I've talked to his agent. We can get him for this price point. All right, let's go do it.
I mean, I'll believe
I think he's great at, like, working that angle of the job and having great communication with agents and other teams, and that's his skill set, along with being able to work numbers great.
I'll believe that Omar has more of a say if they stop drafting running backs before.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
For like the third or
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. AJ Burnett scheduled to join us at 4 o'clock. That was the big Pirates legend that we teased on yesterday's show. Excited to hear his thoughts on Paul Skeens.
I'm just generally excited to hear his thoughts. Like
on life?
Just generally.
Baseball, things of that nature.
He seems like a guy who got out of baseball and is living a very fulfilling post-baseball
life. We'll ask him that question. Ryan Fowler, not sure if that's Jeremy's little brother, but he's a football reporter. And he talked to Ashton Jeanty. And Jeanty, the Boise State running back, the Heisman Trophy runner-up, gave him a list of all the formal meetings he has on his schedule, all the teams he's meeting with. One-on-ones, long-term, long extended get-to-know-yous at the Combine, and the Steelers are on the list. Here we go. First-round running back. If at first you don't succeed, try again, my friends.
Dinosaur franchise.
The fact that they're meeting with him at least says it's on the table. Like,
I mean, I think he's a terrific prospect. I don't really want any part of him in the first round.
I don't know. To the best of our knowledge, they're not even wasting their time with, like, Shador Sanders or guys like that. I don't know if we'll get word on if they're meeting with, like, the second-tier, third-tier quarterbacks. Your Kyle McCords, Will Howards, Jalen Milroe, players like that. But they are with the best running back prospect in the draft. And the thought pretty much is out there. I mean, it's February. Still a long way to go. This is going to determine some of it, what happens at the Combine here. But the thought is, if Dallas doesn't take him at 12, he could be there at 21.
I don't think so, because I just keep hearing that Denver loves him. That if he doesn't go to Dallas, he's definitely going to Denver.
Okay, you say that almost like you're thinking out loud that if those teams don't do it, you're worried or nervous the Steelers will.
I am worried or nervous the Steelers will, because I'm always worried or nervous that the Steelers are going to do the worst possible thing.
Even though they haven't had a losing season since 2003.
Well, we know that doesn't matter. That doesn't. Why would we bring that up? They drag
because
corpse of a football team to 9-8 or 10-7.
Well, because I think that's a little harsh.
A little harsh?
I do. I think
coming from you?
I'm a straight shooter here. You said you're always afraid they're going to do the worst thing. Those comments should be reserved for like the Jets and the Browns. Yes, I think that
the Browns have won a playoff game more recently than they have.
True.
Over them.
Yes.
By a lot.
Yes.
Humiliating them.
Correct.
I'm not reserving that for the Jets or the Browns.
The sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while. That's basically what happened in that game.
Then the Steelers' ass is getting very pale because the sun hasn't seen that in a while.
But that goes back to what Donnie was saying about Khan. Donnie, if Khan is really in charge here, why the frig would they even waste their time on Genty? Doesn't that have Mike Tomlin written all over it? That's got Tomlin's love and Rooney's love for the elite running back and trying to get back to being the best running team in the NFL and trying to find their next Saquon Barkley written all over it. That doesn't strike me as an Omar Khan move.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, if it's a player that they think breaks that mold and is one of those true
a guy
first
who gets
round
invisible yards and stuff like that, hidden yardage that we can't even see. I think that was Kevin Colbert's terminology.
Yeah,
invisible
or
yards.
I would say more like the guys that have been picked recently in the first round that actually show
again
why they were picked. But I still don't think ultimately when it gets rubber meets the road time that they would do it.
I would hope not. I would hope they learn from Najee Harris.
But they're doing their due diligence just in case he's there is how I would view this. To figure out if it is worth it.
If Ashton Genty was there or Teteroy McMillan was there,
I'd take the receiver from Arizona.
What would they do? McMillan is,
oh my God.
I still think McMillan is viewed as the best receiver in the draft, although I've seen some kind of shakiness on that now lately. But
yeah, it seemed like so far, though, he's like head and shoulders. And
well, we
got to
see. I mean,
well, literally, because he's 6'5".
There were no good wide receivers at the Senior Bowl, so that would explain why they didn't really scout those guys hard then. This will be our first way of measuring just how intent they are on finding a wide receiver answer in the draft, who they meet with at the combine, and then also how they set up their pro day workouts. But I mean, if you were just an organization that categorically said, we made a colossal mistake drafting a running back in the first round, we're going to make sure history doesn't repeat itself, you wouldn't meet with Genty. Because you know he's not falling into the second round. I mean, that's just, right? I mean, or
well, now
at least
I'm seeing,
not deep into the second
now
round.
Now I'm seeing another reason you wouldn't draft him, though. There are people who think Amarian Hampton might be basically 1A with him. It's one of those pre-draft things.
So would it freak you out even more if they met with both?
Yes.
Same.
I'm getting texts from people, are the Lions a dinosaur franchise? They took a running back in the first round. Man, how much do I have to hammer it through people's heads? The Lions taking a guy like Gibbs, who's been awesome. The Eagles signing Barkley. On completely different levels as organizations as far as where they are built well and where they are along in their process. It's not apples to apples here. Also, I will just say for the record, you tweeted out, it's Mike. Mike is the one hamstringing Omar. I actually categorically disagree. It's art. Omar Khan could be Howie Roseman. Yes. Do you want to know what happened to Howie Roseman twice? He had personnel power that didn't exist because Andy Reid had it at the start.
Yeah, he got demoted.
And then Chip Kelly had personnel power too. And then on his Football Reference,
it's like Game of Thrones. He kept hanging around and waiting for his turn to pop up again.
12-30-15, he regained personnel control and then got a new title, Executive VP of Player Personnel. Who was the owner during all of that? Jeffrey Lurie, who finally saw the error of his ways, said, I'm going to let this guy run the show. No head coach is going to be above him, and has reaped the benefits. 2 Super Bowl wins, another Super Bowl appearance. The owner has to realize that he's the one screwing it up.
But the owner doesn't think anything's wrong because they keep outperforming the mean.
Pony, that is my whole point here. Jeffrey Lurie realized something was amiss and said, Howie's not the problem. He could actually be the solution.
See, Donnie,
Art is the problem because he'll never realize that there is a problem.
Donnie, this is why I don't think you can rule it out because of what Chris is saying, and because of what we're both saying. they think they're much closer to winning than we do. They think that they're closer. We've got a clip from Omar we're going to play later in the show. He said as much. It was a great question by Kabali. You've got people out there that say basically retool and rebuild. And he said, I think we're a move or two away.
Yeah, signing Patrick Mahomes and bringing in Howie Roseman to replace
him. I mean, is it that far-fetched that they think, we saw Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Can Justin Fields and Ashton Gentry be that for us? They honestly might think that. You're making guttural noises over there. Why is that far-fetched? Donnie, do you think that that's an insane take? They look at Lamar and Derrick Henry and say, why can't Fields and Gentry be our version of that? That kind of 1-2 running punch?
On their end, yes, it is an insane take. One of those guys you mentioned is a multi-time and could have been a 3-time MVP already in, what, like a 7-year career?
But Fields has run for 1,000 yards.
We've ever seen.
Fields has run for 1,000 yards, and Gentry is looked at as a generational running back. Pair those guys up. Offensive line looks better. Look out. Here come your old-school Steelers.
3 yards and a cloud of dust.
There'd be reason to be annoyed enough if they went first-round running back again right after they just let another first-round running back walk out the door a few years after drafting him. It would be even worse if there was a top receiver still hanging around or defensive tackle.
By the way, that is the Howie Roseman move that they could make that would actually, I think, piss people off. Howie just got quoted, patron saint of roster building, can never have enough O linemen or D linemen. I think if they take a really good defensive lineman in the first round, I won't be mad. It's giving Tomlin more resources on a side of the ball that hasn't delivered, but it is where you need to be loading up on personnel.
Yeah, we'll debate that over the next couple of months for sure.
Are set to have the highest paid defense for the fourth consecutive year. Are you satisfied with the return on investment that you're getting for all of that?
We didn't win a playoff game this year, so definitely not satisfied on where we're at.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, a heavy Omar Khan day because the GM of the Steelers spoke for the first time since last August. And we have what he said about George Pickens. We have his take on where he thinks the Steelers are relative to their ultimate goal of contending and competing for Super Bowls. And we have Mike DeFabo there, who I had a nice conversation with the other day after he came on the station and ripped me to shreds. And so I will give Mike credit where credit is due. I like that question.
Yeah, it was a good question.
4 years, you're spending all this dough on defense.
Getting enough out of it?
Rethink the way you're doing it.
But I mean, the unspoken part of that question that I'm sure Mike knows, and quite honestly, I'm sure Omar knows, is you're spending a lot, and your head coach, that's his side of the ball.
That's
like the coaching is what factors in there,
right,
too.
And that's why when you say things like, yeah, use a first-round pick on defense, I say Mike Tomlin doesn't deserve that. If he's a great defensive coach, why does he need all that money and all that draft capital thrown at that side of the ball? He should be able to make more with less and give the money and the resources to the side of the ball that he's not as proficient in.
To play devil's advocate briefly here, Vic Fangio ran the 22nd ranked scoring defense in Miami in 2023. And then when paired with the roster and the talent and the early draft picks Howie had assembled on that side of the ball, they became unbelievable under his tutelage. Even the guys who are regarded as the best of the best in the league still need horses.
Yep.
You don't have Jalen Carter on the Eagles. I'm not even sure they win the Super Bowl. He was that dominant. And that guy is probably the best player in his draft class.
I think they still win. I mean, they won the game 40-22, but I get your point. I mean,
Are they the defense that they were without him and several other early round picks that they did use on that side of the ball? And is Fangio as much of a genius without the horses? I mean, it's always about, to one degree or another, the player quality that you have.
I get that, but that...
I'm sympathetic to your basic argument here, but like where I think it
He took
it
a special
weighty,
teams linebacker and made him a finalist for defensive player of the year.
I'm aware.
They had other Georgia guys on that defense, like Nolan Smith, who hadn't played well, and they excelled in his defense. He plugged in two rookie corners, and instead of like waiting until halfway through the season, like Tomlin did with Joey Porter Jr., Mitchell played from day one and was great, and by the time DeGene went in and they benched Devontae Maddox, sorry, Pitt.
DeGene was making
he
a bunch of complex
turned into
calls.
A stud. Exactly.
No, listen, I'm not arguing Tomlin's better than Fangio. I am saying players matter. The problem with what you're saying is only this. He doesn't really deserve, quote unquote, more resources on his side of the ball, but it's the old line from Unforgiven. Deserves got nothing to do with it. Like, should you be trying to beef up a very thin defensive line? Like, it pains me to say this, but yes.
Here is another question in Khan's clips. We don't have music because of the ongoing battle we have here between
who is the battle
copyright
between?
Law. I don't know exactly. Copyright lawyers, I guess, would be the answer. Here is Omar asked directly about Matthew Stafford because reportedly the Steelers have shown interest.
You know, there were reports that Matt Stafford's camp is allowed to talk with. Have you had conversations with them, and what have been the nature of those kind of conversations?
I'll say, like I said, all options are on the table. You know, we don't have a quarter. We don't have one of our guys on the contract. So I have to, I owe it to everyone to keep all options on the table. I'm not going to say that that's accurate or not, but all options are on the table.
That's not a no. That's not a swift denial like the Trevor Lawrence thing. That's a, I'm going to find the general manager way to plead the fifth on this question because I don't want to show my hand. That's how I interpret that.
Yeah. Just the sidestep, if you will.
Dulac thinks it's not going to happen and that it's too expensive, but Dulac's not betting 1,000 on these things because they've gotten lied to this time of year.
Don't we even take Omar with a grain of salt on stuff?
Right. The other thing I was thinking about saying at the beginning of the show is basically whatever they said about quarterbacks, just expect them to do the opposite.
We expect Kenny to be back and be part of our quarterback room. See you later.
Reportedly not interested in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields at the combine last year. They brought both in. So ideally they want Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Maybe we should translate that into they actually
hell
don't
no,
want either
I don't.
One.
Or hell no, I don't. I do think if he had to pick, he would obviously pick Fields though. Don't you? Khan, just you say, Omar, who do you want? And you have to factor in what you know they're probably going to cost.
I don't think anyone wants Russ.
Russ wants the Steelers.
I was on this take early. I was saying last year as the wheels were starting to fall off that I thought Russ was done in the NFL because he's just a lot, man. He's not a bad guy, but he's just a big personality. And it's just a lot to deal with when the guy's not good.
Oh, I was going to say, I think he's detrimental to a winning effort when he's at this point in his career physically. He could be a decent guy or a good guy or whatever and be, as a teammate or as a player ego-wise, be way out of whack with what he's actually capable of doing, which I think is the actual reality of Russell Wilson.
Kabali asking Omar about Russell Wilson at the end of last year.
How do you think Russell did the final month of the season?
Yeah, I don't know if it's fair. Just, you know, we lost five straight games. It's unacceptable. And I'm not saying that's Russ's fault. I mean, it's organizationally, we just got to be better.
So here's Omar's issue with answers like this, okay? I'm going to play you another one just to give you a sense for what I'm leading to or what I'm setting up here. So that was his answer on Russell Wilson, which was, it's not fair to evaluate one player or analyze one player when the entire team sucked, right? Is that what you heard? Basically, I don't want to...
All the fruit was rotten, or the whole meal was rotten, not just one ingredient.
So here's Omar Khan on Mason McCormick at the end of last year.
It was awesome. You know, Mason came in, you know, small school guy. He came in. This was not too big for him, and loved his progression, and I think the future's bright for him, and he gives us good options at the position.
So it's easy to figure out how they feel about these guys. If they feel comfortable complimenting them, that means that they do have positive opinions and thoughts. If they try to say, I don't want to talk about it, it's not fair, that actually, in my opinion, that tells me that Omar, if given truth serum, would not say nice things about Russell Wilson, but he knows in his role, he can't do that.
Strategically not beneficial. to tip your hand about a guy like that that is currently not under. Also, he's not under contract, which is another one of their big ones.
But like, listen to even. So I think I have this right. Like, listen to him talk about Najee Harris.
Has there been any conversations with Najee, and does this upcoming running back draft class potentially impact those plans at all?
It's a good running back class for sure. It's an exciting group. We haven't closed the door on Najee. You know, have had conversations with Doug Henderson, his representative. So, you know, all options are.
It's actually not the clip I'm looking for.
Still, when you get to Doug Henderson very quickly on an answer about Najee, is it really glowing praise for
the
player?
Well, he did say, I guess, when it was not just Steelers reporters, he like talked about how he had all the 1,000-yard seasons and did say, you know, kind of complimentary things. And then to juxtapose that with when he got asked about Dante Jackson, he like was already talking about him in the past tense.
We had to take him behind the barn. It was a real shame.
Which, man, at one point, I mean, again, like, evaluating the work done by the Steelers in the offseason, that was one that aged, like, as Donnie likes to say, milk on a July day.
Has Donnie ever actually said that?
Something close to
I'm
that,
usually
right?
The aged one who's like milk.
I say aged like milk in the sun all the time.
I mean, around Halloween, Dante Jackson looked like an absolute heist. And then by the end of the year, it was like, this dude stinks.
And what a path for each of the guys involved in that trade. Deontay Johnson on a who else can I get released by tour, spitefully held on to by the Ravens as a strategic
piece.
I get
the feeling he's going to sign with a team, and it's not going to be for a lot of money, but all the quitting and mercurialness is not going to completely keep him out of the NFL.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.